From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here's your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. That's right, there's no Jew between me and you. Isn't that great? Top stories. Anti-Muslim video sparks new outrage against Denmark. England faces population boom. Wartime bishop helped Nazis escape. Italian TV show on drug-taking MPs pulled from schedules. Pauline Hanson to sue electoral body. Ethnic diversity breeds mistrust in Australia. Final story, schoolgirl arrested for refusing to study with non-English pupils. Here on the Hawthorne Report we have anti-Muslim outrages. Danes have been warned against travelling to a number of Muslim countries after the release of a video showing young members of an anti-immigration party mocking the Prophet Muhammad. Images drawn by members of the youth wing of the Danish People's Party and shown on television and the internet were condemned by Islamic leaders in Egypt and Indonesia, threatening to reawaken the furor over cartoons published last year in Denmark. One woman presented a cartoon showing a camel with the head of Muhammad and beer cans for humps. A second drawing showed a bearded man wearing a turban next to a plus sign and a bomb, equaling a nuclear mushroom cloud. While the Danish People's Party is not part of the coalition of Prime Minister Andreas Fogh Rasmussen, the government has relied on its votes to get measures through the Danish Parliament. Once again, we have these Muslims who are pushing the agenda against indigenous peoples of Europe. The Danish People's Party is a legitimate political party in Denmark. Yet, because this party may was having a laugh on a joke or someone was doing something, it's all over the Jewish media. Muslims are invading Europe. And it's wrong for us naughty white people to stand up against them. As the growing nationalist force in Europe is coming together, white people are understanding that the white nationalist forces in all our European countries are standing up for European civilization. Media, and I said before, the Jewish media is coming down on white nationalist, national socialist organizations throughout Europe. And we are not allowed to say anything against the invasion by the Muslim hordes from the Middle East. Recent sparks here in the United Kingdom was the Jew Jack Straw, who was refusing to have any Muslim women appear at his political surgeries wearing the veil and the burqa. He wants to see their faces, and as Muslim law states, only Muslim women are allowed to show their faces to fellow women, not to males. Tony Blair came to the Jew Straw's defense, saying it's a sign of separation and these women should be showing their faces. What Tony Blair and the Jew Jack Straw don't understand is these Muslims don't want to integrate. They want to stay separate. They want the Khalifa of universality for the Muslim nation. They want to take over Great Britain. They want to take over Europe. That's what these Muslims want. And the reason the white nationalists are standing up is we know what's going on. Hence the anti-nationalist voices heard in the Jewish media. And we know the Jews are pushing this nonsense on our people. We need to stand up and fight back. England faces population boom. England's population will rise by more than 6 million within 25 years, official figures predicted yesterday. By 2029, the Office for National Statistics predicts there will be 56.4 million people in England, confirming it as one of the world's most crowded nations. England, on its own, has the 24th highest population in the world and is one of the world's most densely populated nations, with 383 people per square kilometre, compared with 246 for Britain as a whole, and a European average of 117. The biggest factor in the population rise is, get ready for it, immigration. It has been estimated that 80% of the rise will be a result of migrants. The growth in population has considerable public policy implications, no kidding. Infrastructure and services have to be sufficiently robust to cope with the numbers, especially in London and the South East. Well, there you have it, population boom, and even the Jewish media states the biggest factor in the population rise is immigration. That immigration that means around everybody in Great Britain is from the toilet bowl of the subcontinent of India, for the most part, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and now we have this mass influxation of Muslims from the Middle East. Britain's in major problems. We are only a small island, and we are the 24th highest population in the world, and Great Britain is one of the world's most densely populated nations. Again, with 383 people per square kilometre. How do we get around this? How do we reduce our populations in England and Great Britain? Easy. We need to put them on the boats, we need to put them on the planes, we need to put them on the trains. That's what we got to do. People say, oh, that's so inhumane. Repatriation policy is so inhumane. Even a voluntary repatriation policy is so inhumane. No, what is inhumane is the death of the indigenous British population, the indigenous English population, the indigenous Welsh population, the indigenous Scottish population. And for the most part, the indigenous Northern Irish population, while they are still part of the Union. Wake up, people of Great Britain. It's time to use and take the repatriation policy that's been put forward by nationalists since 1967. It's the same policy. We'll even fund these people. We'll even give them money to leave our country and settle them back in their homelands. You know, we're not going to push them out and, you know, give them a horrible ride back home. We're going to put them on a nice comfortable boat, a nice comfortable plane, pay them to go back to their homeland, help them settle there, help their governments through trade agreements. This is the way to go. If not, 2029, and as we say here on the Hawthorne Report, 2050 is the big number, we're going to have to get really serious. And the repatriation policy when it comes to 2050 might be quite ugly. Wartime bishop helped Nazis escape. Brief story. Bishop Alois Hudel, who died in 1963, was the director of the Pan-Germanic College of Santa Maria del Amine in Rome between 1923 and 1952. The college is the main training center for Rome for German priests. The priest openly declared his pro-national socialist views and has been labelled the Black Bishop by the evil dead Jew Simon Wiesenthal. May his bones decay slowly in the horrible grave that he's in. The Nazi hunter whose foundation gathered evidence against him. Inside the vault, historians from the Institute for Austrian History in Rome found a copy of a telegram sent to Adolf Hitler by Hudel supporting the annexation of Austria. Gosh, horror, gasp! The archive also confirms that Hudel helped many German soldiers escape to South America. Among those he is suspected of helping is Franz Stangl, commander of the Treblinka, quote, death camp, unquote. Good story there. Just shows the Catholic Church was pro-national socialist in the 1930s, 1940s. And, you know, we don't see a problem with that. The Führer, Adolf Hitler, was a Catholic, as were most of the leaders of the National Socialist Party in Germany, as are most National Socialists, for the most part. Good Catholics. So there's nothing wrong with the Catholic Church supporting a regime and an ideology that puts its people, racial identity first. Good on the bishop, and I hope they make him a saint. I hope they make him a saint. Italian TV show on drug-taking MPs pull from schedules. The Guardian is reporting in Great Britain. A television program that purports to show widespread drug use among Italian MPs was scrapped before transmission last night amid uproar over both the results and the methods used to entrap the so-called politicians in Italy. In a classic sting operation, some 50 politicians were fooled into thinking they were being interviewed about aspects of next year's draft budget, currently before Parliament. Instead, a makeup artist with a satirical TV show swabbed their eyebrows to get a sample of their perspiration, which was then tested for traces of cannabis and cocaine. But the right-wing politician, Alessandro Mussolini, demanded that the names of the MPs be made public. Quote, enough of double standards, said Ms. Mussolini. If there is a law that punishes the use of drugs in this country, it is not right that politicians should take them. What example does this give to our young people? What does this do to the credibility of parliamentarians? I think she knows, I mean, the parliamentarians vis-a-vis in the European Union, in all our European lands, are bogus. They're all run by Jews, and the only real politician, or politicians, should I say, in the true sense of that word, are, well, what the Jewish media term right-wing politicians. I would term them nationalist politicians like Alessandra Mussolini, great example. She's a member of the European Union, could be part of a future Italian government. She is a great example for the Italian people, and she says that the Italian media should put the names of all these druggies, all these Italian MP drugs who are taking cocaine and whatever else they're taking, they should be placed on the TV, and they should be placed in the media for all the Italian people to see. And here on the Hawthorne Report, we give Alessandro Mussolini 10 out of 10 for that comment. Ethnic diversity breeds mistrust, is reporting the Australian. Ethnic diversity seriously undermines the trust and social bonds within a community, according to important new research that casts a gloomy shadow over the optimistic theories about the benefits of a social melting pot and societies such as Australia. The report goes on, which was from Robert Putnam, a Harvard University social scientist. His extensive research found that the more diverse a community, the less likely it is inhabitants to trust anyone from their next door neighbour to their local government. Let me read that again. This gentleman, Robert Putnam, who is a Harvard University political scientist, states that his extensive research found that the more diverse a community, the less likely were its inhabitants to trust anyone from their next door neighbour to their local government. So there you have it, the wonderful things of multiculturalism, the wonderful diversity of multiracialism. Dr. Putnam is saying it breeds mistrust. It goes on, quote, and it's not just that we don't trust people who are not like us. In diverse communities, we don't trust people who do look like us. It will be studied closely in Australia and most European countries, where governments are increasingly struggling with the political and social fallout of immigration and ethnic and religious diversity. When the data were adjusted for class, income and other factors, they showed that the more people of different races lived in the same community, the greater the loss of trust. Again, this is a Harvard University program document saying, and this is reported in the Australian newspaper, ethnic diversity breeds mistrust. It's true. Multiculturalism, multiracialism is a lie. The ethnics, vis-a-vis in Great Britain, the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, the Muslims, Indians, they don't want to be part of the white lands of Great Britain. They want to stay in their own little communities and get the benefits from this traitorous government against the indigenous white British people. And this report shows it's not only happening in Great Britain, it's happening in Australia, New Zealand, and all our European lands. Immigrants don't want to be part of white European culture. And if that's the case, what the hell are they doing in Europe? We need to kick them out. Pauline Hanson to sue electoral body. Former One Nation leader Pauline Hanson is suing the Queensland Electoral Commission over what she says is an act of bastardry. The former federal MP spent 11 weeks in jail in 2003 for electoral fraud before her conviction was overturned and she was released. Pauline Hanson was a good patriot. She got fitted up. Her problems began after the 1998 state election when One Nation won 11 seats and more than the 4% threshold of the primary vote needed to secure electoral funding from the QEC. A civil action led to the party being deregistered the following year in Queensland on the grounds One Nation did not have the required 500 members as claimed. And then they locked up poor old Pauline and she got released. The state government will not compensate her, despite making a payout to former Queensland Chief Magistrate Di Fingleton, guess her racial origins, who was in prison for 6 months in 2003 for retaliating against a witness over an email sent to a colleague, Miss Hanson said. There you go. Pauline Hanson still fighting after many, many years as a great patriot in Australia, fighting to clear her name, still fighting for her people in a roundabout way. We have to understand what Pauline did. Pauline Hanson was part of the Liberal Party, the electoral elite of Australia. She was a politician. She was part of the establishment, yet she broke away because she saw the immigration situation was killing Australia. Immigration is killing Australia, so she formed her One Nation Party, won 11 seats and won more than the 4% threshold of the primary vote needed to secure electoral funding from the government. Government tried to fit her up because she didn't put the One Nation Party didn't have 500 members as claimed. Utter nonsense. And here at the Hawthorne Report, we give Pauline Hanson, if we had three thumbs up, we'd give her three thumbs up. She's a great patriot and we hope she comes back and fights as a nationalist in Australia, because Australia, just like the rest of Europe and in all our lands, Australia needs a good nationalist organisation for the white Australian people to fight for. Final story in the Hawthorne Report. Schoolgirl arrested for refusing to study with non-English pupils. A teenage schoolgirl was arrested by police for racism after refusing to sit with a group of Asian students because of them. They did not speak English. Cody Stott's family claims she was forced to spend 3.5 years in a police cell after she was reported by her teachers. And you believe that? The 14-year-old, who was released without charge, she said, "I had to sit there with 5 Asian pupils." According to Cody, the 5, 4 boys and a girl, then began talking in a language she didn't understand, thought to be Urdu. So she went to speak to the teacher. "I said, I'm not being funny, but can I change groups because I can't understand them?" But she started shouting and screaming, saying, "It's racist. You're going to get done by the police. They told me to take my laces out of my shoes and remove my jewelry, and I had my fingerprints and photographs taken." After questioning on suspicion of committing a Section 5 racial public offence, her mother, Nicola, says she was placed in a bare cell for 3.5 hours, then released without charge. Story goes on. "Cody was not being racist," her mother said. "The reaction from the school and police is totally over the top, and I'm furious my daughter had to go through this trauma when all she was saying was common sense." School insiders acknowledge that at least 3 of the students Cody refused to sit with had recently arrived in the United Kingdom and spoke little English. A lot of these arrests don't result in prosecutions. They aim to frighten us into self-censorship, said her mother, until we watch everything we say. That's the way it goes in multiracial Great Britain. These people can come into our great land, don't speak English, and when one 14-year-old brave girl stands up and says, "I don't understand what these people are saying," she's dragged out, she's arrested, called racist, she's going to be she's questioned on suspicion of committing a Section 5 racial public order offence. This story, thank goodness, has been all over the white nationalist boards, not only in the Jewish media, because I think this story is fairly, you know, it's a microcosm of what's going on here. 14-year-old white girl, you know, is being put through the ringer because she couldn't understand these people who did not speak English. And that's what happened with these immigrants. Have you noticed, no matter where we are in our white lands, well, these immigrants who come into our countries, they don't speak our language. Yeah, we're supposed to get along with them. If we criticize them for not coming into our country and then starting to learn the language, you know, it's us, it's the white people who get arrested. And this poor 14-year-old girl, as I said before, she was put through the ringer because these five Asians did not speak the English language. Urdu. What the hell is Urdu? I wouldn't know Urdu if I fell over it tomorrow. Do you? And what the hell are they speaking Urdu in Great Britain? Tell me, why are they speaking Urdu in Great Britain? They should be speaking the Queen's English language. And this 14-year-old girl, great girl, she's a great girl. She should be not being charged with this public order offence. She should be given a medal for standing up for the courage and the honesty as a 14-year-old girl, and a 14-year-old beau for that matter, would have against the invaders to our lands. Good on her, and I praise her. I praise her to the hilt I can. Our time is coming. Let's work together, everybody. Let's come together. We have to work as a unit, as I keep saying on the Hawthorne Report. White people in all our white lands have to understand that it's us, not the invaders, that come first. And we have to stand up against them. If we don't stand up against them, we're going to get crushed. And it's time for us to take the fight to them. This is James Hawthorne. I'll see you next time.
Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.